Ed Pathfinder. I'm your host, Steve Phillips. In this podcast, the goal is to inform, educate, and reminisce as we find a path through the world of technology, internet, and podcasting. In this debut podcast, I'm hoping to receive feedback and thoughts as I fine-tune this experiment into the unknown. This is my first endeavor into creating a podcast in the past 4 or 5 years, and in doing so, I'm hoping to kind of hit a different level. So I hope you'll bear with me as I progress through these episodes and creatively flex that muscle that I've been wanting to help others navigate technology and whatnot as well. So I've had the privilege of learning about technology over the past 25 years between my roots at 5 years old, getting my first 486 DX4-100 pre-Pentium, and all the way until now where I've done tech support, I've done about 11 years of podcasting through various websites, and actually work in the podcasting field. So I feel like I have quite a bit of variety of tech experience to teach about and to explain. So what I'm hoping to do in the next few episodes, and in this one as well, is inform on a variety of segments that are kind of related and not really all that much out of it and kind of short. So I'll be doing basically a, you know, this week in history lesson, kind of taking some things that happened that particular week in history of the recording of the podcast, however many years ago. Some what you need to know in tech news. The podcast highlight of the week where I would like to be able to play a podcast ad for someone else's show, more or less to pass it forward and to just to kind of help spread the word of other people's podcast in my podcast. I've done some of the podcast ads before with other podcasts on my network. And so I kind of want to do that because I'm in this 28-day challenge, podcast movement challenge, for the month of February. And there's a lot of talented people in here. There's a lot of awesome podcasts that I'm looking forward to checking out. Just as soon as everybody gets launched and I get this thing a little bit fine-tuned. So I'm definitely hoping on doing that. Plus, I'm hoping to talk about kids and technology because I have, since the launch of my podcast network, had to experience how to raise little ones on technology and what I don't want to raise them on compared to what I was raised on. What I kind of see going wrong with modern society with technology and media. So it's kind of a little bit of everything. I may not talk about all these things in every episode, but again, that's kind of the premise of what I'm hoping to do here. So if you'd like to interact with the show, there's multiple ways of doing so. I have registered internetpathfinder.com, which at the moment links to the Facebook page for the podcast. I do plan to add this as a sub-podcast on my Altered Geek website and Geekcast Radio Network. It will also be featured on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, and more as the weeks go on. So you can also find it on Twitter at InterPathfinder and myself on there as well at SCP21. I will not repeat that consistently every episode, so don't worry about that. So without further ado, I'm going to jump into the tech history lesson here. And like I said here, I'm hoping to inform with just some kind of interesting tech things that have come over the past few decades anyway. So in February of 2008, the war over the high-definition successor to the DVD ends when the supporters of the HD DVD format discontinue it, and the Sony-backed Blu-ray format garnered the support of many players in the industry. So that would be the demise of HD DVD. Also, the same day in history, which is February 19th, of 1987, the beginning of Apple.com was created. That's right. The internet domain Apple.com was started. And this was a full 4 years before the World Wide Web was launched or Microsoft.com was registered. But still, it's still something to keep track of. I had no idea when I was kind of looking for this information that Apple had one of the first domains of any of these tech giants to be out there, because my introduction to technology and the internet as a whole were in the 90s, the kind of mid-90s. So I really wasn't aware of a lot of it until I went to college to discover that, you know, the internet was formed basically in the 60s with the ARPANET. And my introduction as a child to the internet, or preteen or whatever, was around 96, where I had dial-up, and it was the 28K modem. It was insanely slow by today's standards when you have things that go anywhere from 100 megabit per second to 2 gigabyte per second downloads, if you've got something like Google or a specific Comcast plan. It's kind of interesting to go back in time and kind of see some of the things that have happened over the past few decades. And we also, in the 70s, had the first warrant to issue a search of computer storage, which would lead to the more sophisticated methods of encryption to hide computer files from law enforcement agents, which is just crazy in itself. So this is just something that kind of is mind-boggling to me, of all the historical things that you just kind of forget about over the years, and it just comes back, and you're like, wow, that's something I either A, didn't know, or don't remember because it didn't leave that big of an impact, or, you know, you just weren't aware. It's time for What You Need to Know in Tech News. Are you tired of those annoying pop-up ads online? Well, they may be coming to an end, because Google has begun to block those intrusive ads by default in its Chrome browser. So the tech giant has finally made it something that will be a default ad blocker in Chrome, aimed at stopping adverts and pop-ups, which make the user experience slower. So flashing animated banner ads, auto-playing video advertisements with sound that are to be targeted, while Google will contact websites that breach the advertising guidelines and ultimately block their advertising. If they fail to make changes after 30 days, they are looking for a coalition of better ads. So it's basically, the members of that will include major advertising places like Unilever, Google, Facebook, major news publishers such as News Corp, which was kind of all suggested last year, but Google has now moved to implement its ad blocking technology. So this is kind of good for those that are sick of all that stuff kind of playing in the background or sneaking up on them while they're trying to actually read an article. I have multiple ad blockers installed on my browser, one of which is the disable HTML5 autoplay, which stops all video and players from playing by default. I can toggle it on by website. I have AdGuard ad blocker, and I also have the AdBlock Plus, because I just don't want the ads. And I find them very intrusive. It's not like it's just, you know, a one or two ads. No, it's the videos that play that slow things down. It's the flash player. It's all of that kind of stuff. So I'm definitely behind what Google's initiative is here to have their own ad blocker that, no, it won't be a blanket advertising stopper for a lot of ads, but it will stop a lot of the third-party ad material, as it were. So that's very good news that the intrusive ads will be blocked, the autoplay advertisements and the advertisements with screen blockage, and the ability to allow ads to pop up or to toggle them off. I am definitely behind this. I'm not a fan of all the ads just jumping all over my face. That's one of the biggest turnoffs to a website to me. If I have a ton of ads in the articles, or if I have a ton of ads that are just vying for my attention instead of letting me go for what I read, I'm going there to read or to watch. I will instantly click off of the website. I will find an alternative by Googling or using Bing and moving on. I do not subscribe to that. So that's to me something that's long overdue. Another interesting thing that kind of popped up over the past week was a federal judge ruled that embedded tweets can represent copyright infringement, which I found to be a little bit interesting because a lot of news resources and a lot of websites actually use these embedded tweets on articles to kind of quote verbatim what's going on and what's being said on Twitter. So apparently a New York federal judge decided that significant implications for how copyright laws are enforced. It was in a case where Justin Goldman, accused of publications including Breitbart, Time, Yahoo, etc., had posted a photo to Snapchat, apparently. And it went viral, and other users subsequently uploaded it to Twitter. So according to like the Hollywood Reporter and things like that, the photo in question was a picture of Tom Brady, which it has to do with like football. I'm not a follower of that, but the fact of the matter is that this was a possible liability for copyright infringement, determined by whether an image is hosted on the publisher's server or this publisher just embedded or linked to an image that's hosted elsewhere. Now, the ruling doesn't mean that the publishers have lost the suit. It just simply rejects their motion for summary judgment. But it could mean big ramifications, though, if this keeps kind of spiraling out for those that use tweets and mention them or post them on their website and embed them and whatnot. So this could have bigger ramifications depending on how this gets ruled in the future or handled in the future. Another thing that I found kind of interesting is that Best Buy is going to be pulling CDs from its stores. And this article is a couple weeks old, but I still find this very interesting that Best Buy is kind of leaving the old physical media out of its stores now. And some people are kind of losing it, some people not. I am one of the big proponents of utilizing digital space over physical space. I used to have 1,300 movies, which I know it's not CDs, but it's the same kind of basis in storage of this media technology. And I think that when you're moving as fast as we are in this tradition, from the traditional to this digital age, it's about time that we kind of moved away from that. I mean, I know that there's some recurrences of vinyl and things like that, but with all the streaming services and all the options for getting your digital media, having the physical media doesn't really mean much anymore. Especially when back in 2001, they had 800 million CDs sold in the US, and that number fell to 89 million by 2017, which is a huge drop. Which really isn't a surprise when you have places like Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora, just Amazon Music, things like that that have their own services to either buy or stream the music. I mean, there's more streaming services popping up all the time. It just makes sense that it would slow down. I'm surprised, honestly, that DVDs and Blu-rays haven't dropped off either, especially DVDs because it's a little bit older of a format, whereas Blu-rays are a little, I mean, you get more crisp and HD quality than you would in some instances on streaming just based on your internet connection. But I think that we're going to be coming to the day where DVDs and Blu-rays will start going away as well, and it will come to the point where you won't really own your media. It'll be just kind of a streaming service that you get to add to a queue. Unless it's something like Apple, where you get to download, you buy the movie, you download it, it's yours. But I think that we're coming to that age where a lot of stores are going to stop doing this. And Target is apparently expected to follow suit in this, which for Best Buy and Target to kind of drop off the map on this, it's only a matter of time before the rest of the brick and mortar stores drop these out and remove them from their shelves as well. Honestly, I can't remember the last time I went and bought a CD. It's been so long since I've done that. I've bought digitally for the past, I don't know, 5-6 years of everything that I've ever wanted. And for the most part, I just stream what I want. Like, I mean, I listen to Pandora and that's pretty much it. I mean, I have my old CDs that I've ripped to my computer from the 90s and early 2000s that I bought. But other than that, I haven't bought a CD in years. I haven't even bought a Blu-ray or a DVD in years because most of the time I wait for stuff to hit streaming. And I don't have to take up the physical space. I used to own 1,300 movies, and I, over the past 2 years, have sold all of them because I had an entire bookcase full of these things, like TV series, Blu-rays, DVDs. It was taking up way too much space, and for how little I watched them, it made zero sense for me to hold on to them. So I'm kind of in agreement with how Best Buy is performing in this, even though some people are, you know, shocked and upset with Best Buy for doing this. They quoted even, you know, some of those embedded tweets that we just talked about, where some people felt betrayed that they were getting rid of them, and you know, this is what happens when computers rule the world, a mess. You know, it's just stuff like that. I think that you kind of have to evolve with the times or you get left behind. And I think Best Buy is doing that with renovating and kind of clearing out that and filling that space with something that's actually going to sell compared to stocking all this space for a dying media format. So it's a bit interesting. And I'm going to cut this particular section out. This is about the end of that section. I'm going to be moving on to where normally I would place a commercial break. However, this being the first test episode, I'm not going to actually have one. And then I would come back with, during that break, I was planning on having like a podcast advertising. So in this instance, I'm going to put one for my podcast, Altered Geek, and then move on from there. So I'll be back in just a second on the other side of this. Hello, geeks and geekettes. I'm Steve Megatron, and if you're looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of geeky topics, then check out Altered Geek. Altered Geek covers superheroes, Star Trek, pop culture, comics, film, television, animation, gaming, tech, and more. So check out Altered Geek and get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio, and the Geekcast Radio Network. And we're back. So I hope you guys have enjoyed, for the most part, this episode. I am still obviously tweaking the format and the structure of this podcast. I will have something on the next one about some of the stuff with my children and growing up in the digital age, especially for the fact that when my son, that's 5 years old, gets on the tablet, he glosses over in his eyes and just kind of stares at it. So it's kind of a struggle with us because back when we were kids, we didn't have the struggle of having cell phones and all of these digital devices in our face. We had a giant computer that sat in our a computer desk, and we didn't have all these little personalized you know, smart TV, smartphone, tablets, just everything. And trying to raise a balanced kid in today's age is not very easy when it's very simple to put your son and your kids in front of technology and let the technology kind of entertain them. But when you're trying to give them a well-rounded, balanced measure. It's not easy, like I said. Especially when you're trying to homeschool, we're very much into the trying to get the kids to do crafts, into singing to learn things, and that's how we got my... It's funny because my two-year-old actually learned his ABCs before my five-year-old because we sang the song, and my two-year-old can pick up a tune better than my five-year-old. But my five-year-old is very creative, so it's very interesting in how to do that using old school media in that regard. But it's also trying to figure it out, and sometimes Googling works best to try and find some ways of doing that. But I've found that limiting time and definitely watching what your children watch before they do, basically pre-screening it, is definitely something you want to do in today's modern era, especially with YouTube and the fact that you get these weird ads that pop up. You get sometimes some questionable material that pops up. So my wife and I have actually created playlists of things on YouTube to kind of some things that educate. And we give our kids maybe an hour's worth of TV a week, which is abnormal. And for somebody who's been as glued to media as I have over the past 20 some odd years, it's difficult for me to even unplug, and I don't want my kids to have the same struggle I do. So it's definitely a journey. So I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. I don't know if they'll go over 20, 25 minutes. I think that's kind of the sweet spot for this, with doing a little bit of kind of what you need to know in the news of tech. And I do plan on having topical aspects to this show a little bit more like planned out. I realize that this is the test bed. This is episode zero for me. So it's very much a machine that needs to be fine-tuned. And I look forward to all criticism and feedback and suggestions. But I definitely want to do the aspect of having some brief segments in the fashion of how I had it in this episode. But... It's not something I plan on dragging out just for the sake of dragging it out. So until next time, this is Steve Phillips signing off.